The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, or this is Matt Slick Live, and I hope you want to give me a call, and if you do, the number is 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. Whew, boy. And, five open lines, so nobody's waiting right now. Now, it's a Friday, lovely Friday. That means the weekend's around the corner. I love weekends, even though I keep working, but I do enjoy them anyway, and I'm smiling. I'm thinking about it because people say, "How's your weekend?" I go, let me think about that. Oh, yeah, that's right. The only thing I didn't do was radio. So, anyway, there we go. Okay, five open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Now, sometimes what I will do on Fridays is I'll do hate mail. And I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do some hate mail. I enjoy hate mail. People enjoy hate mail. And I used to, didn't do it there for a while, but now I'm doing it again. So if that, you'd like that. So let's see. I haven't even read these, okay? It starts off, this is a good one. You are the definition of an awful person. I'm smiling. I am so smiling. I love this stuff. Okay, you are the definition of an awful person. Well, I go to the dictionary, when I see Matt Slick, it says awful person. That'd be the definition of it. You are the most ignorant, stuck-up person I've ever heard of. Man, that's awesome. If you can insult somebody, that's it. You know, hey, you're the definition of an awful person. You're the most ignorant, stuck-up person I've ever encountered. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Okay, you force your beliefs on some fairy. Oh, jeez. You force your beliefs on some fairy in the sky on everyone and discriminate against atheists and homosexuals alike. Wow. So I force it. Yeah, so what I do is I get people, and then I get them in a headlock. Okay, believe it, believe it. I'm forcing you to believe it. And then I take a concept from my mind in the air and I put it in their ear and shove it right in their ear. Like, come on, I'm forcing my belief on you. Wow. And it says on some fairy in the sky. You know, wait, I love this. Atheists will say, you believe in fairies. I go, I don't believe in fairies. What are you bringing up fairies for? You're fairy in the sky. I go, what fairy in the sky? What are you talking about? And, no, you believe in this and later. They're fairies. Or they'll say, you know, we don't believe in magic, a magic sky daddy. That's one of the things they'll say. And I'll say, what is a magic sky daddy? And they'll say, that's what you believe in. I go, I don't believe in magic sky daddy. I don't know what that is, but that's not what I affirm. And they accuse, you know, and one for a while there, my favorite was the flying spaghetti monster. That was actually something that a lot of the atheists said, dude, it's just like the flying spaghetti monster. And one time, I've done this more than once, but one time this guy calls me up. I think it was in the radio I've done this too, and many times on in chat rooms, you know, and you believe they'll say, we affirm the flying spaghetti monster, and it has the same attributes as your God. Wait a minute. So you're saying a flying spaghetti monster? Yes. So flying is related to the physical world, right? Yes. So he flies in this world? But you're saying it's the same attributes as my God, which means he wouldn't be flying because he's outside the world? So, and also, how is spaghetti sentient? So that, you know, it's the same attributes of God. So how is spaghetti, which is part of the natural world, also the thing which is not part of the natural world? And I say, and what makes you think it's a monster? You guys believe in a flying spaghetti monster? I said, you guys got some issues, big ones. And so I don't know. You know, I always have fun with it. They think it's a real burn. Let's see. Please take some time to read this. Baltimore Ravens linebacker? Brendan, are you? I spoke in favor of Maryland pilot ballot initiative, which would legalize gay marriage. Wow. I find it inconceivable. Inconceivable that you are an elected official of Maryland state government. Oh, okay, yeah. Obviously, this guy does not have all his paws in a litter box. Let's see, one more, and then we'll get to the callers. Let's see. You say that God created himself. Oh, man. No, we don't say that God created himself. Oh, get this. This is what the person actually says. You say that God created himself and has always existed. Now, how could you create yourself, but you're always existing? You know, I would talk to an atheist and I'd say, excuse me, can we go over this a little bit? Because you just postulated that that's what I teach, which is not what I teach. But now you have something being created that's also not being created. How does that work from your atheistic worldview? Because I'm at a loss to figure that one out. Anyway, this guy goes on, but that means that it would be possible for small molecules to create themselves and evolve from that. You know, maybe, just maybe, this person got his finger stuck in an electric socket when he was younger, and there's some short circuits going on in the cerebral area. It could be, you know, that there's something not quite right up there, because it doesn't quite make sense. Anyway, this guy goes on. They, like God, the molecules, like God, could have created themselves. How do you create yourself? You have to be... You have to have an attribute to build a form and action. To have an attribute, you have to have essence. To have an essence, you have to have existence. But if you don't exist, you can't have any of those. You couldn't perform an action. Anyway, they, like God, could have created themselves, which as small, simple molecules coming from nowhere and creating themselves makes more sense than a whole, all-powerful, all being capable of creating worlds created itself. Whoa. You know, this is, you know, it's really interesting, is that sometimes, I'm just telling you, they just don't know what they're talking about. And I don't mean that, you know, I'm just insulting them, but come on, if you're going to criticize Christianity, at least understand what it is you're talking about when we, you know, in our view. And they don't. Hey, but I had fun with those. All right, let's get to Anonymous from Utah. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, great. I love your show. I listen to you every day, and I've learned much.
Oh, I'm glad.
From the show.
Okay.
Turn off my radio. Okay. So, two questions. Mm-hmm. My pastor, whom I love and respect with all my heart, and believe God works through him, but he's just a man, and he used to preach that... once saved, always saved, and now he's preaching that you can lose your salvation.
All right.
I'm going to hang up and let you answer.
No, don't hang up. Don't hang up. It's okay. We can talk.
Oh, okay. And then...
Go ahead.
Do you want to answer that one first, or do you want me to tell you the other one?
Well, if he were on the phone with me, or anybody who says you can lose your salvation, there's lots of things I could say. One is, well, okay, so what do you got to do to keep it? That's what I'd ask. One of them. What do you do to keep it?
Okay.
So, you know, what do you say? Did he answer that? What's that?
What's no, that? I didn't say that to him, but I'm going to say that to him because...
What's your position?
I know with all my heart that once saved, always saved.
Okay.
I have said to him, then maybe what you're talking about is this person that lost their salvation, they was never saved in the first place.
Yeah, 1 John 2:19. They went out from us because they were never of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained.
Oh, thank you,
but,
Jesus. Amen.
That's right. Here's the thing. You know, I would have to ask them, and I've done this many, many times, many, many times. I'll say, look, I'm sitting in my computer, and I have my fingers on my keyboard, and I've got number one listed. I'm waiting for you to tell me. What is a list of some of the things you got to do to keep yourself saved? I just want to know. And you'll say, well, you got to continue to believe. Okay. Well, anything else? You know, it just depends. Whatever they say, I'm going to ask them. Well, are you doing those things? Well, I'm trying. Oh, so you're trying. Okay, I get it. And then if they say I've had one guy say, well, it's only just you got to keep yourself believing. And I say, let me ask you a question. Do you take credit for your own believing? It's kind of a trick question.
Amen.
And they'll say,
amen.
Well, yeah. So then why is it necessary for God to create?
I was raised Mormon.
Yeah.
I was raised Mormon, so you're getting back into your own work, right?
There you go. That's right. Just ask him, what do you have to do to keep it, and is he doing it? And if he says he's trying, then he's not doing it, and by his own words, he's condemned.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. 100%. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, second one is he said that just recently, and I about fell off the bench. He said that there's no male and female in heaven. There's no gender.
Yeah, it's sounding more and more like he doesn't know what he's doing. He shouldn't be a teacher. Okay.
Okay. When I get raptured, I'll still be a female, correct?
Yes. So what he's doing is he's going to, there's a reference, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female.
I read it yesterday.
And so it says, for you're all one in Christ. This is talking about federal headship and salvation. There's no differentiation for those of us who are in Christ. That's what's going on. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. You can go to Colossians 1:15-17. It talks about this. And according to the scriptures of 1 Corinthians 15:35-45, that which is sown, the body, is that which is raised. And also, Jesus prophesied his own physical resurrection in John 2:19-21. Destroy this temple, 3 days I will raise it up. When he rose from the dead, he's the first one born from the dead, raised in the same body he died in, and they still recognized him as Jesus the man. Furthermore, in 1 Timothy 2:5, it says there's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. So right now in heaven, Jesus is referred to as a man. He is the model of our own resurrection. So therefore, yes, we'll still have our male-female bodies, but we won't have any functioning, you know, genitalia stuff, necessity, you know, all that kind of stuff, because that's for here.
Yeah.
But we're still going to be male and female up there. That's how it is. Okay? Because Jesus is male. Okay.
You can't get more clear than that. Thank you
so much. That's clear. Yeah, and when someone starts teaching stuff like this, and there's one thing after another that's an error, I tend to think, you know, I start wondering if they're able to even teach sound doctrine in other areas. Because now the question is Jesus a man right now? You got to ask him, is he a man? If he says no, he's not, then he's actually teaching heresy. They're very serious.
Okay. Well, I love you, and I will tell that with to him and stuff.
Be loving.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me that.
Sure. And I tell him I'd be willing to talk with him over the phone, and he could just go over a few things, and I won't beat him, you know, to a pulp. It's just, you know, let's go over this stuff. Let's talk about this. I'll give you the scriptures, you know. And hopefully he's a teachable man. And
He's very good. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Let's get to Paul, I believe it's Paul, from Virginia. And Paul, sorry about that, buddy. We got a break right there, so I'm going to put you back on hold, and we're going to have to get back to you after this break. And we have 3 open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. All right, now let's give it a shot here. Let's get back to Paul from Virginia. Paul, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I've told you about the book COVID-19 and the Global Predator, We Are the Prey, by Dr. Peter Bregan.
Mm-hmm.
And also the website realnotrare.com. Mm-hmm. They're trying to raise awareness around people that have been injured or worse. And I was wondering if you'd had a chance to read any more of the book.
No, I have been involved heavily in the New Apostolic Reformation research. And So I'm opening that book you talked about and looking at it right now. But
yes,
I have it on.
Specifically wanted to ask you about page 175.
Well, let me go to 175 and see what we can find here. Let's see. Go and location, 170. Here we go. Page 175. All right, so I'm there.
Okay, there in the second paragraph, it says to add to the purposeness or per...
We have discussed how public health officials openly discuss among themselves the use of fear to have people do what they want to do. That paragraph? That's the second paragraph.
Yes, and that all those participating in the planning for COVID-19 were also planning for the vaccine to further the aim of ridding...
Okay, well, hold on. Okay, so you have a question, or I'm curious, are you trying to use this platform as a way to get something across to people?
Well, I'm questioning that there seems to be no other explanation for continuing full speed ahead, despite the ominous...
Full speed ahead in what? Can I ask what? In full speed ahead in what?
Full speed ahead with these shots, despite the ominous research which spanned 14 years right on through the EUA in late 2020.
So what's your question?
Well, my question is, like they say at that, I think, fourth paragraph, what is going on here? Those who are fully understand
what they are doing
are probably uncertain that they are doing the right thing.
Okay, I'm waiting for a question. Okay.
Well, I'm asking, in the case of the COVID-19 and the vaccines, there is nothing voluntary about it, and so that makes it mass murder.
Okay. So you're not asking any question. I keep asking for a question.
No, I'm questioning...
No. I'm asking you to ask me a question.
Yes, and the question is, because I have asked you several times when I gave you the title of the book.
I understand.
And so
I'm asking for a question.
And the question is, what are your thoughts on what's going on with these shots?
I don't know enough about it to be able to tell you. I don't think that they should force it on anybody. I don't think that they should penalize people who don't want to take it, and then in their hypocrisy say that a woman has the right to kill the unborn, my body, my choice, in their hypocrisy. I know that if you go to the CDC website and you're to do a test run on VAERS, that you can find out that there have been a lot of deaths related to the COVID vaccine. This is from their own website, wonder.cdc.com, and then /VAERS.html. But yeah, I've done it.
Do you agree with Dr. Bregan? And
I don't know, because I haven't read what he said, so I can't tell you right away.
Okay, because the book also contains introductions by Peter McCullough,
okay,
Elizabeth Gillette.
Okay, I gotcha. But you see, what we do in the show here is you ask a question, and I try and answer it. And sometimes people come on and they want to use it as a platform to push something. And I'm always reticent to do that, though I do think there's a lot of fraud and problems that have been perpetrated around this COVID thing. I don't know. I've written about 30 articles related to it in studies. But this particular thing I can't comment on. I just don't know.
Right. Okay? That's fine.
Okay.
Well, I've read some of the articles on CARM, so that's why I figured you would be a good resource for answering questions about this.
Yeah, it's a vast topic. And if I were to do stuff on just the injections, I'm going to go to the CDC website, because people don't know. I'm sorry, what?
Do you think that the public can trust the CDC at this point?
Okay, I don't know if they can or can't. I'm just saying what the CDC reports from its own website.
One final question. Do you know, or is it true, or do you have any knowledge around the World Health Organization putting out some type of treaty where the United States government would give health issues over to a world organization versus the United States.
I don't know that. If it's true, I need to know it. I would like to know it. If you have any documentation, you can send it to info@carm.org. Documentation that proves it. If there's any bills or anything in our government that said this is what's going to happen, I simply need it documented, and I would be glad to talk about it on the air if it's documented, because that would be a violation of the constitutional rights that we have as Americans. And I would love to.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. All right. Four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to, that's Levi from Raleigh. Levi, welcome. You're on the air. Levi, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, hey,
there we
how
go.
Are you doing, Pat?
Doing all right. Just hanging in there. What do you got, man?
Just a one question. What exactly is a Gnostic and what are the beliefs? I'm just trying to figure out how to deal with a person who is agnostic. And
you mean agnostic?
Very vague to me.
Wait,
G-O-N-S-T-I-C, Gnostic.
Okay. Gnostic.
Like Gnosticism.
Gnosticism is the teaching of knowledge. Gnosis in the Greek, to have knowledge. The Gnostics are those people who claim to have special knowledge and special abilities, and that truth and salvation, and whatever it is that this particular Gnostic might hold to, can only be understood through the revelation of special knowledge that usually they have access to and nobody else. Gnosticism.
Okay.
It's kind of like New Age. There's relationships to it, in that what you believe has an effect on the outer world. And often in Gnosticism, though there are variations, there is an ultimate being who created lesser beings, and the lesser beings created the physical world, because the physical world is sinful, but God is not. And there's a gap between them, that there can't be a direct creative work between God and the created order. So lesser, or demigods, were the ones that God used to create this world, and that they will provide special knowledge through special means. And then when you have the special knowledge, you can grow in your understanding of the true God, etc. That's what Gnosticism is. Oh, it's bad. You want to hold? I got a break, okay?
Sure. A problem.
All right. Yeah. We have four open lines, folks. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with Levi from Raleigh. Okay, Levi. So that's what Gnosticism is, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's kind of vague to me. The guy seemed kind of irritable that I would even put Jesus and a light next to what he said he knew more than about God than anybody else.
Wow.
Like, okay.
He knew more than...
That's exactly how I said that.
So you know more than anybody else about God? That's why, I love meeting people like that. I do. Like, okay. So you know more than anybody else who's ever lived? Right? So you are the supreme knowledge holder of who God is? Is that what you're saying? Well, no, not exactly. You know, well, then who knows more than you? And he started asking questions related to his answers, and he'll trip up. Wow.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Matt. You're a huge blessing.
Well, tell my wife that. Tell my wife that.
Yeah.
I tell her I'm a huge blessing. She does a lot of eye exercises, rolling of eyes and closing the eyelids slowly, so it's good for her. It's good for her. I tell her these things. She does eye exercises around me a lot. So, that's okay.
Right, thanks again.
All right, brother.
God bless.
All right, God bless. Hey, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nancy from Virginia. Nancy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening. God bless you, and thank you for taking my call. Some friends of mine, they pray, name it and claim it. What does that mean?
It means they're in heresy, is what it means. Name it and claim it means that you can, as a Christian, you can proclaim what you desire and what you want, and God will provide it because He bought you health and wealth, and all you got to do is name it. I claim, or I proclaim wealth, and God will give it to you. That's what it is. Name it and claim it.
And there's no scripture backing that up? Or do
Correct.
They use scripture to back it up?
Well, they rip scriptures out of context to back it up. It's basically cultic. It's basically cultic stuff, okay? And there's a lot of bad stuff that goes on. Man, why is it that? Okay. I'm trying to find a certain bit of information that I've got on CARM where I go through a lot of the positive confession teachers. And they hold to what's called name it and claim it, or I call it blab it and grab it. And it's called positive confession. And part of it is occultic. In that, what you do is you claim certain things and you speak truth, because by speaking truth, you can create reality. So Charles Capps, for example, says that faith is a substance. John Avanzini said Jesus handled big money and he wore designer clothes. And back to Charles Capps, he said that God used words as containers to hold faith. They teach weird stuff. Okay? I can go on and tell you more what this guy said. Oh, yeah. See, let me tell you. It's like a fact. Okay? I'm talking to you. The fact of me talking to you is not independent. In order for me to talk to you, I have to be in my office, with my computer, with my internet connection, while you're there, while we have a computer set up in between on the internet. All these are facts that have to be in place for the fact of my conversation with you to exist. So what I'm trying to say is facts are never independent. And so truth values are never independent, and errors are also never independent. In other words, they're never alone. When you have one error, you're going to have others as well. And so these heretics who teach this stuff also teach other things. Like Paul Kraut said, we are gods. Kenneth Hagin, says Adam was the god of this world. Or you've heard of Joyce Meyer, right? You've heard of her?
Yeah.
She's a heretic. She said Jesus stopped being the Son of God. She said that Jesus paid for our sins in hell. She says if you don't believe Jesus went to hell, you cannot be saved. That's a false gospel. And so she teaches the name it and claim it stuff too, positive confession. And she's a heretic. You cannot call her a sister in Christ because of this. And she needs to repent of it. She needs to publicly retract these statements as an example. Joel Osteen said Mormons are Christians. It says, Fred Price, God can't do anything on earth unless we allow him to do it. I mean, it's one error after another. Because when you have one error, you're going to have more. So if God came from another planet, then Jesus Christ can't be the eternal true God, and you won't have a true sacrifice. You're going to have heretical views on how to get saved and how your sins are forgiven. If you can create your reality by what you say, then you have the power of God, and often those who hold of that say that we can become little gods ourselves. So, you see?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. God bless.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you,
Oops, sorry about that. I thought she was gone there. Didn't mean to cut her off for that. Hey, we have four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Jose in Texas. Hey, you're on the air.
Hi, man. How are you doing today?
Doing all right by God's grace. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, I do a lot of apologetics. I was wondering, so a lot of the things that, or a lot of the a lot of the ways that the cults they ask is, or what they'll say is, well, Jesus, they talk about the presence of Jesus Christ, and they ask me, was Jesus the eternal Son of God? And because the Bible calls him the Logos. So I was wondering, is it okay to say that the Logos of God was acquired humanity to his divine person? Or I don't know how that goes in terms of his incarnation. Their question is, well, was Jesus always the Son of God before his incarnation?
Okay, so let's talk a little bit of theology here so we can lay the foundation down so we know how to answer the questions better, all right? So God is a trinity, eternally a trinity, and God has always known everything all the time. It doesn't grow or decrease in his knowledge. Included in that knowledge are his eternal decrees, the things which he has stated will occur. And that they do occur because he brings them about. Like, let there be light, there's the universe and stuff like that. Also, there is the decree of the Word becoming flesh and redeeming the elect, the ones given by the Father to the Son, John 6:37. Those who were chosen in Christ by the Father before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4 teaches this. So, in that sense, the Word, who we call the Son, is eternal. He's eternally the Son in that sense, because he is eternally in the state of the decree of being the one who will be the Son, so we have his eternal sonship in that relationship. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, of course. And so they'll bring out, mostly the modalists, or I guess the one Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. What they'll say is that in 1 Corinthians 15:28, that's not the verse. It says that the Son of God will make himself, and he will return back his kingdom to the Father. Mm-hmm. So that being said, they say that Jesus will change his role as Son to the Father. I know that's crazy, but anyway,
it doesn't say that. It doesn't say he changes his role, because his role is eternally decreed.
Okay.
See, it's a simple logic issue. If they're going to say, even from oneness perspective, that God has eternally ordained this, then the role can't change because it's eternally decreed. So if they want to say one aspect of the role has altered, well, then they can say something like that. So you've got to be careful what they say, and you've got to analyze what they say in their own words. So from the oneness position, and since you're the only one waiting right now, I can explain to you some problems inside of oneness if you want, and some ways to witness to them about it, because we're almost out for the break here. So oneness is a non-Christian cult, okay? And so when they go to 1 Corinthians 15:28, all things subjected, or 27:28, well, there's a break. It doesn't negate who he is, and doesn't mean that he changes. But it can mean in the sense of the function is finished by decree. And that fits under the ultimate decree of God. So there's issues of logic there. Hey, we'll be right back, okay? Folks, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back to Jose. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
All right. Got to check in something there. All right. So we're talking about oneness. And just so you know, I've written a great deal on it and have debated a lot of oneness people over the years. And so, you know, I'm quite familiar with it. And, you know, it's got lots of problems, of course. Now, So we got another question, or you want me to kind of tackle something, or what?
Yeah, so I'm not sure if you ever heard of a cult called The Light of the World. It's called La Luz del Mundo. It's in Spanish. It's
a Spanish. La Luz del Mundo is in secta falsa, sí. Peligroso.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. So I'm guessing you heard of it, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So their Christological is more Socinianism.
And, really?
They believe that Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they believe that Jesus is just a human being, like just like you and I. But he's has God in him in some way that you know that he possesses all the power just because God the Father mm-hmm. is in him. I don't know if that makes sense, but anyways,
yes.
But that makes him special, I guess, in a way. So, anyways, one of the guys that I deal with at work, he's from that cult, and he said, you know, if that Logos of God before the incarnation, he was just a thought, not a person. Or, in other words, he just gave me the hint that Jesus did not pre-existed as a person before his virgin birth. So, anyways.
Then why would Jesus say in John 17:5, Father, glorify with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world? Who's speaking?
You know, Matt, they'll bring a Revelation 13:8. I think where it says that the land that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they'll try to come up with other.
Uh huh. And this is what you do. They'll say, well, he's slain from the foundation of the world, blah, 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 blah. And you just wait till they're done. And then you say, okay. So if Jesus is only a man and not divine, why would he say, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world, John 17:5? Exactly, you ask the same question. And then they go on to something else, and you ask the same question. They go to something else, you ask the same question. And it irritates them.
We answer it. Yeah.
We don't want to irritate them. It's just that that the issue is that verse just is one of many that destroys their Socinian error. So,
yeah.
Notice what I'll do is I'll say, well, John 17:5 says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. That's John 17:5. I'm repeating the address over and over and over and over and over again. I want them to have it. At least they walk away, they can go, I'm not going to look that up. That's one of the things I do. Okay.
That verse, and I think John 14:23, if I'm not mistaken, where
they're good.
That he and the Father. Man, I think that's a powerful text. Very powerful.
Yes, it is.
To deny the Trinity. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Yeah, we will come and make our abode with him. How is that possible? If he's only a man and not divine. How is that possible to do that? That's very good. You're on the right track, man. And so what you could do is just say, well, John 14:23 says, you know, he says that he and God, speaking of the Father, will come and make their abode in you. How's that possible in John 14:23? You'd see, do the same thing. Just use that verse. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're good, man. You got it. You're in the right track.
I just feel like in the Spanish-speaking world, we have, I think I mentioned to you before, where we have a lack of systematic theology in terms of authorship. So I always do, what I do is I always use your website a lot too. It has been a blessing. And
how about
Mia Peak, of course?
Okay, Mia Peak, good. I was going to say, you know, you can contact Carlos and you can ask Carlos. He knows a lot of stuff and he's very good. And you know, you can always connect with him. He's awesome. And I know a guy.
I try to email him, but I just have no luck. I guess he's not.
Just do it again.
He's busy, so.
No, just do it again.
Okay.
I talked to him this morning, and he's got some stuff going on in his life. He's got a medical thing, mild, but you know, it's medical. You know, just do it again. And I also have a buddy in Los Angeles, okay, and El Español Todo el 20, and he knows how to talk about the Luz del Mundo and other groups and cults.
Luz Carlos, right? I think you're mentioning Luz Carlos.
That's the man. Okay, I wasn't going to say his whole name, but you know, over the national radio, but...
Mopar.
It's all right. It's all right. But he's a good guy. He's been at the house here, and we met in Barranquilla in Colombia years ago. He's a great guy. And so I was able to do some video stuff with him and use my broken Spanish, so that was fun. But he knows his stuff, too. So if you know him, you can connect hold of him. That's one way. But, you got to get trained up, man. You got to learn it. and it's what it is. You're good. I can tell you got what it takes.
Yeah, it's just when I need more, I guess, to kind of sharpen my sword isn't a part of Jesus before Jesus' incarnation. If the Word was actual person, I guess that's, you know, before becoming a flesh. You know, I guess my terminology. How do I say it? I guess it's what I need to get better at.
Well, it depends. Okay, here's the key. You have to practice articulating very precise definitions. And then you have to learn how to relate those definitions to each other. So the Word and the Son are the same, but yet they have difference. And how does one term relate to the other? You have to be able to articulate that. So the Word is God, John 1:1, became flesh. Well, how then is He the Son? Because He's the only begotten Son. Well, then what does sonship mean in relationship to the Father? Yet the Trinity has no gender. Why is Father mentioned? Why did He choose to become a male? That's because of federal headship and authoritative representation. And so sonship, yeah, oh yeah. I'm teaching advanced Trinitarian stuff. I'm going to be working up something for Christ as well. But,
Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing this on the Trinity now for 2 weeks, and I'm starting to work on a paragraph. I call it just a paragraph on Jesus, where I'll go through the hypostatic union, communicati vitamatum, the eternal sonship decrees, things like this, various things. So this is the kind of stuff, when you talk to people like that, you need to know, this is a fact, you need to know your theology even better. It's just what it is.
Right.
And mm-hmm. So,
yeah, sure.
So what I would do is believe everything I tell you, because my last name is Slick, and you should. And you should go and learn your definitions. That's where you should take my advice seriously.
Yeah,
learn those definitions. Exactly. Learn the theology.
Oh, yeah.
And do you have anybody you can practice with?
Actually, yeah. There's two friends that we talk about these subjects, and we actually debate. Well, we don't debate publicly, but we do have some debates in churches, mm-hmm. like local areas, and okay. We just go around and try to indoctrinate people okay. that aren't in cults, mainly in cults, like Jehovah's Witness, the Field okay. of Jehovah, pretty much Jehovah's Witness, La Luz del Mundo. It's a big one here in Texas, Houston. Anyways,
yeah, we have in my city, there's a Luz del Mundo church. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is a surprise here in Idaho. But yeah, and I would love to go.
It is a surprise.
But they're violent, and they've been known to be violent, so you got to be careful with them. So I would never go by myself. And,
Right.
Yep. Yeah. The light of the world.
Will you be posting that paragraph you mentioned earlier in your website, or
which one
are you going to do on YouTube?
On what
you're talking about, the advanced Trinity? Oh. I think
yeah, just go to what you do is you go to carm/calendar, okay? Because that's the easiest way right now to get to this stuff. And if I do it right now, you'll see calendar. You'll see a list there, and then last night I taught on the Bible study, and you can go look at the notes. And you can see the video that I did, and you can just click on the Bible study notes, and there's, 10 pages of notes. And you can print them out, and you can go through stuff. What you guys can do is you can go through the video, listen to the video of me teaching both of those issues, and you will see how, for example, the uniqueness of God is very deep. That was an hour-long discussion. The aseity of God I did last night, another hour-long discussion just on that.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the website right now, actually. Cool, okay. I'll go ahead and take a look at those, and I'll call you back sometime next week.
Sounds good, buddy. All right, man.
All right, Matt, thank you.
Okay, hasta luego. Okay. All right, let's get to Jamal from North Carolina. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt Slick. Hope you're doing well today, sir.
Doing okay, by God's grace. Okay. What do you got?
Good deal, good deal. Wanted to ask about that we talked about last time I called, you said something about, or not something, but you told me about Abraham's bosom. Mm-hmm. I did want to go into detail because I already asked another question, so I want to call back and ask in detail about Abraham's bosom.
Well, it just seems to be a holding place that probably is no longer in effect. And I say probably because it looks like Abraham's bosom was a place of holding for the good who died before the crucifixion of Christ, the atoning sacrifice. And they went to Abraham's bosom, a good paradise place, and it was just called Abraham's bosom, Father Abraham. And a good place. That's what it is.
Okay. Okay. Do you happen to have that detailed on card?
I don't know if I do. I don't know because I've written so many articles and so many issues that I may have it or may not have it. And I can't remember. So I don't know. Look it up. Let's see if I can go into Carm and look it up. Abraham's bosom. Let's see. Abraham's bosom. And come on, there we go. Tertullian, Augustine. Where did Jesus go after he died on the cross? It'll be related to that. And so, okay. And I have various references to it, but I don't have an article, I don't think, just specifically on Abraham's bosom. Like, what is Abraham's bosom would be a good article.
So, you say you don't have anything specific on Abraham's bosom?
No, I do not. It's not much of a topic, but maybe I'll write an article just because you said, you asked the question,
Cool. Well, yeah, make sure you just put my name on there so I can get some credit for that.
There you go. Yeah, that's right, man. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks again. I'm split.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. All right.
All right. God bless.
Okay. All right. Now, you know what? Alberto from Georgia, we are on the last minute. I don't even know if we got enough time because you always preamble your stuff. Are you there? Alberto? Should I say yeah? Okay, let's hang up and get going because we're about out of time anyway. Hey, everybody, I hope you all have a great weekend, and I just want to let you know that we do stay on the air by your support. And if you're so kind as to consider supporting this ministry, please go to carm.org, carm.org/donate. And all the information you need will be right there, and you can help us out. And even if it's $5 a month as a recurring donation, it helps us to be able to create a budget and to know what we can and can't do. And it's very helpful. Please consider that. carm.org/donate. I hope you have a great weekend. May the Lord bless you and by His grace. We're back on the air on Monday. We'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.